Well, we're going to be looking at God's wonderful word. And before we do that, we'll just ask him for his help. Our Father, thank you for the series we've been doing through this letter of Ephesians that your servant, the Apostle Paul, wrote, but we know your Spirit inspired it. And thank you for the things that we've looked at. I know a few weeks ago we were looking at putting off and putting on and all those really important things. Thank you for the practical part we are in now in terms of living the Christian life. And we know that this doesn't save us, but Lord, we want our lives to count. As Paul says, we want to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Help us to take this serious. Help us to realise, in the light of all that Jesus has done for us, we need to be heading in the right direction for the glory of your name and for the honour of Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you challenge me and all of us and encourage us as we look at these words this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on the 26th of May last year, you probably don't know what happened, but Perth experienced a total lunar eclipse. If you had your cameras out, you might have taken some photos. And that's a really extraordinary day where the way that everything is, the sun and the moon are in opposite directions, but the earth is in a perfect position to cast its shadow over the moon. And you do still get to see the moon, because the sunlight going through the Earth's atmosphere causes the moon to turn what colour? Deep red colour, isn't it? And it's incredible. And it takes like a 4-hour period for it all to happen. I think it was 7:18 p.m. You had to be ready for that moment when the Earth's shadow was perfectly over the moon. And as you should know, normally what would happen is the moon on that sort of day would be shining most brightly, reflecting the sun towards the earth. But these days, the lunar eclipse days, where the earth casts its shadow perfectly onto the moon's surface. Now, do you know that there's a picture there? Of course there is. There's a picture in everything in life. That's what I reckon. That's how I think. So I think about that sort of thing and I go, wow, there is a picture indeed. And this is the picture I get from that. And by the way, there's another one coming up on November the 8th. Get ready for that one, the total lunar eclipse. And the picture is this. As a Christian, I know that I am to be lined up perfectly with the Lord Jesus so that I might reflect to you, to others, to this world, the light of Christ. I am to reflect the Redeemer. Isn't that a great picture? The moon has no light of its own. No glory of its own. It's just a big lot of dirt. Well, that reminds me of me. I don't have any light or glory. I'm just dirt. But I have the joy to reflect the Son of God to the world, to reflect the Redeemer. But here is the thing, especially with a total lunar eclipse. It's so easy for us to allow the world to cast its shadow on us and to darken our soul so that we no longer reflect the glory of Jesus to those about us. And there are too many Christians who have done that. And that's why we can be just a group of people who are not shining brightly, who are not reflecting the glory of our God, the glory of Christ. We're not radiating the Lord to others. And that's what this passage, I believe, is about. In Ephesians 5, Paul is concerned about too many Christians really allowing themselves to no longer reflect the Redeemer. They are really filled with worldly ways, and that's what comes out. It starts off in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, with those great words, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." And I love that word, beloved children. In the light that you are beloved children, dearly loved of God, we are. We're meant to be so keen to no longer have the world cast its shadow on us, but to reflect the sun and the glory of God to the world. As we look at this today, we're going to be seeing three things when it comes to Jesus especially. We're going to be looking at Christ's love, reflect it. Christ's holiness, radiate it. Christ's truth, reveal it. Can you remember that? Christ's love, reflect it. Christ's holiness, radiate it. Christ's truth, reveal it. And hopefully you'll see it come out from the passages that we're going to look at this morning, especially Ephesians chapter 5, 1 to 7. So you ready to go? Let's get our Bibles out We'll read Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read verse 1 again, and also verse 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So the Apostle Paul encourages us to walk in love, live in love. And in that very verse, verse 2, it's connected to Christ. Christ is mentioned. Christ, he is love. He's more than love, but he is love. Isn't he? What a picture of love Jesus is. There's two great pictures for me personally when I think of Christ's love for me. I think of how he died for us on the cross. It's extraordinary. I can't take it in. The great King of glory. The fact that he, the co-creator, died for me, a sinner. That he in love died for me. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid down his life to save me from eternal punishment, to save me from the judgment of God, to save me from the wrath I deserve as a sinner. What love? A love beyond measure. But also I see his love wasn't just one off. I see his love throughout my Christian life. He loves me every day. I know that because he's so gracious to me, a sinner. He's so forgiving when I confess my sins. And he's interceding for me before the throne. Isn't that love? That's extraordinary love. He loves us so much. And what the Bible is saying here, what the Apostle Paul is saying, is we are, as Christ loved, we are to love. We are to radiate. We are to reflect the love of Christ to each other. So let's have a look at this. What does this mean? If I look at Jesus' life as he walked this earth, he loved his enemies. We're to do the same. He taught us that. Love your enemies. When he got crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We are to reflect that kind of love, the love of Christ, to the world. I know it's challenging, but he does live in you. It's all possible. Let him live in you. Also, we are to love fellow believers. Did Jesus do that? Oh, yeah. He loved his disciples. Can you imagine how painful it was? They were up and down. They were frail. They lacked faith. But he loved them to the end. Even washed their feet. What a love. Washed Judas's feet. Washed Peter's feet who would deny him. We're to love each other too. And we're to love the lost. Did Jesus do that? Absolutely. He came to seek and to save the lost. And friends, to be serious here, you know, when it says that we are to love like Christ, let's think what it looks like. Loving our enemies, loving a brother or sister who rubbed us up the wrong way, loving the lost. It means reflecting that, living it out. We're called to do that. Christ is love, and we are to love like him. I also learn in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, something very important about Christ's love. I'll read it again. Walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. And I want you to remember that's what love is. Love is giving of yourself, giving of your time and energy to another. It requires you to be like Christ, to be humble and other-centered. And the danger we all face as we live in this world, the way that we can be darkened, the way that we can be eclipsed by the world, is we allow ourselves to be affected by the world and we are not selfless but selfish. And we're not humble but proud. And we're all about what we can get. And it just totally blocks us loving the world, loving people and reflecting Christ. That's what we've got to be so careful of. That's what we're in danger of as we live in this world. How we are to love. And we're to be an offering, it says here. He loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. And I think of that verse in Romans 12:1, where we are encouraged because of the mercies of God that we present ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice, which is acceptable to God, and our reasonable service to love is to be living a life of sacrifice. And then when we get it all going to God and hopefully to others, we are like a fragrant aroma. In our garden at home, we have some beautiful roses that have now survived a chili thrip, which is great. And Mr. Lincoln is flowering great, and Maria Callas, they're just rose names, and they have a beautiful scent. And it's so nice to smell them, and our grandkids love it as well. So if Christ is in us, and if we are reflecting His love, we are like a fragrant aroma, first of all to God, but also to each other. Someone who loves truly is such a lovely person to be around. And if we love as a church, it's going to be a lovely place for people to come and come here and enjoy church. We're meant to be like the fragrant aroma of Christ in us. So here's a challenge. What are we reflecting to each other in our homes, to our neighbours, to our workmates, to each other, to our world? What are we reflecting? Are we reflecting Christ's love? That's what we are to do. Yes, we are to preach the gospel. We are to tell the truth. But we also are to reflect His love. And I would ask the Lord to help you be challenged, and to even pray and ask the Lord to help you with this area. We want to show Jesus to the world. The next thing we're going to look at is Christ's holiness and how we are to radiate His holiness to those about us. It's another way of reflecting the Redeemer. And first of all, I can't help but think of Jesus Himself. The Lord Jesus, we know there's a great verse. I love this verse. I probably quote it heaps of times. And it's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that says, He, that's Jesus, is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of His nature. And when Jesus walked this earth, He was reflecting the holy character of God right through His life. And of course, He continues. And as I look at that, we are meant to be radiating the holiness of Christ as well to the people around us. And there's a verse on it before we look at Ephesians 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 to 16. It says these words. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behaviour, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. There it is. So now let's turn to Ephesians 5, and we're going to see in verses 3 and 4, not a whole lot of words that tell us about what it looks like to be holy, but Paul wants to look at the opposite. He's telling us what not to do, that unholy behaviour we read in verses 3 and 4, this is what we are not to do in order that we might be holy, reflecting the Redeemer. So let me read Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So when I look at that list of things mentioned in verses 3 and 4, I see that's the world. The world that wants to cast its shadow on me and eclipse me so that I no longer reflect the glory of Christ, but the terribleness of the world. And I need to get hold of this. I need to remember that my light is being put out by this world. I've got to be careful of the things mentioned here. And we can, with the help of Christ and with the power of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to say it like this. It's four I words. I'm going to make it four I words to help us remember it easy. Right. So the four I words that we've got to be careful of are these words: immorality, impurity, intoxication. Where did I get that one from? It's connected to that idea of greed and covetousness. And the next one, verse 4, is indecency in terms of our speech. Right, four I words. They are about. They're in us. They surround us. This is the world we live in. We've got a sinful nature geared towards this. If we're going to be serious about reflecting the Redeemer to the world, are you in for that? Then you need to deal with these four I things. Let's go through them. Immorality. You might be interested to know that that's the Greek word porneia. And it does have a strong reference to sexual immorality. But because it's the word porneia, it's not just having an adulterous affair in marriage. It's a lot bigger than that. It does include pornography. It does include all the things that this world gets up to. Fornication. And we're not to be partakers of this. This will put out our light. And we need to cut these things out of our life by the power of the Spirit. The next thing that's mentioned is impurity, which is the Greek word akatharoia. Nearly got it wrong. That's it. And that one is to do with doing things that defile or make you unclean. So in Paul's day, it was going to a pagan temple. It was going to a Roman theatre. Often they had dodgy things happening at Roman theatres. And Christians, they shouldn't be going to places like that or doing things that are just dodgy. And what about our day? Oh man, we got so much. There's so much stuff that we've got to be careful of. What's the things that make us unclean, that defile us? Well, how many of us are guilty of watching something on TV that we shouldn't be watching? Or something on the internet? Or maybe, you know, there's people I know of who go, and they call themselves Christians, you know, go to the casino, have a bit of a gamble. We're just so compromised. And there's drug taking and all sorts of things that people get into that defile us. And the Lord God, He wants the light of Christ to shine. He wants us to be lined up with Jesus, and not with this world. He does not want what He's put in us to be eclipsed by the world. Okay, the next one is, what was the word? Intoxication. What are you intoxicated with? It's another word for greed. Are you greedy for power, for pleasure, for success? What are you greedy for? What do you hunger for? What are you intoxicated with? And that's something else we have to deal with. We have to remove it. Best way, I reckon, to deal with it is to remember who we have in Christ. He is our sufficiency. Amen. Get caught up with Him. And then you won't have a desire for anything of this world. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Do you understand what he's saying? I will satisfy you completely. Then there will be no sense of wanting to covet or be greedy, be intoxicated with the things of this world. And the fourth I is indecency. I look at verse 4 and it's so indecent that we should be caught up with filthy and silly talk, which is so common. You know, we shouldn't be laughing at terrible and bad jokes at work. We shouldn't be doing coarse jesting, as it says in the Bible. We need to clean up our tongue. But there's something else we've got to clean up. What's that? Jesus said that the mouth speaks of the overflow of the heart. And the reality is, it's our emotions and our thoughts that we've got to get sorted. Let no indecency dwell there. Let the light of Christ shine brightly to dispel the darkness, that we might shine the light of Christ. These are really key things. It's these kind of passages, if we get hold of it as a Christian and as a group of Christians, that causes the church to become radiant. And no longer does the world just mock us and ridicule us, but they look at us and they have to take notice as they see the light of Christ shining out of us. There's one more one I'm going to mention, and it's in verse 6. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Let no one deceive you with empty words. And what I want to bring out from that little phrase is that we are to allow the truth of Jesus to take hold of us and for us to never be deceived. And I'm mentioning this, I want to make a point about this one, because I know in the world that I live in, and especially amongst Christians, and I mix with different pastors and that, and it's not for me to judge anyone, but I have to be aware of this, I have to be discerning. There has been a serious erosion of God's truth. There has been lots of deception and lots of empty words, false words, filtering into the church, filtering in through churches, through super-powered preachers and all this sort of thing. And this is something we need to be aware of. If we want to reflect the Redeemer, then we need to get hold of the truth and reveal the truth to others. So when I think about that area, I think of how it's been very common in the last few decades for people to dismiss Genesis chapter 1, 1 to 11. Genesis 1 to 11, I mean. To dismiss it as what? Oh, it's just fable. It's just legend. It's just all that kind of stuff. Like, it's like a once upon a time story. And I hope you realise how serious that is. It takes away from the spectacular creation of God and how we were made in God's image. And there's a reason why we are messed up. It's in Genesis chapter 3. This is truth, and we are to hold it. And there's other things too. It's more and more there's such a growing desire by so-called Christians to think that Jesus is the way to God, but it's not the only way. The door has been opened really wide to that. And that's not the truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we've got to hold to that. And there's a whole lot of other things. I'd go for ages if I kept going. About the truth being maligned and played down. Maybe one more, which is really the context of verse 6, is there has been a real playing down, a real deceiving in regards to God and judgment. There is no judgment. That's not true. But that's what they declare. They declare there is no judgment, there is no hell, because God is the God of love only. The God of love only. And that's the context of this passage here. That's why Paul writes there, let no one deceive you with empty words. God is true to his character. He's a loving God. He saved us. But he will also bring judgment for all those who do not repent and receive Jesus. This is the truth. And we are to take hold of that truth that sets us free. And that truth is what we need to reveal. So in terms of reflecting our Redeemer, we are to reflect his love. And we are to radiate his holiness. And we are to reveal that truth. That's part of our showing Christ. Reveal the truth to others. We need courage to do that. But we need to do it. Because the darkness is growing darker. All right. And I love, if I read John 1:14, I love this verse. In the beginning of John, it says, and the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I look at the Saviour, radiant. Radiant, especially with two things, grace and truth. And guess what? We're meant to be like that. We have Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, and we are to be full of grace and truth. So don't line yourself up with the world. And that's what we're guilty of. Let's repent of that. But line yourself up with Christ. Don't let the world eclipse you and darken your soul, but shine Christ back at the world and scatter the darkness with the light of Christ. Think of the moon. The moon and the sun. We are to be like that moon, fully lined up with the sun, reflecting the light of the sun to this world that we live in. That is the Christian's position. The joy we have. It's our joy and delight to do that. Let not the earth's shadow darken our soul. But there is one more final point. I've sort of skipped over it. I'm going to read now verses 5 and 6. For this you know, this is Ephesians 5:5-6. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So I want to finish with this. Here we go. Are you for real? Are you for real? Are you really a Christian? Does Christ live in you? Does it show because you reflect the Redeemer to those about you? Do you reflect Christ's love? Do you reflect Christ's holiness? Do you reflect Christ's truth? The problem, and I can imagine Paul's heart here being broken, the problem is there are so many people in the church who aren't even saved. They are not born again. The Bible warns us that people who continue to just reflect the world, they aren't saved. It says that there. They will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. They will not be saved. They will hear the words, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. But because our God is a God of incredible grace, what's his message to anyone in that state today? Anyone here today? It is this, repent. Repent of your sins. And receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. There's a way home, a way to be right with God, even today. But there's another group of people, and I imagine they are Christians, and they are compromised Christians. They have allowed the world to eclipse the light of Christ. And what's the word of the Lord to us if we're in that state? It is the same word, repent. Repent and return to the Lord. That's the message in the Old Testament prophets. Repent and return to the Lord. And the Lord will have mercy upon you and restore you. And how desperately God's people need to heed that and live it out. Christ is love. Let us reflect Him. Christ is holy. Let us radiate Him. Christ is truth. Let us reveal Him. To the glory of our great and wonderful God. Let's now sing. We're going to sing this song, O Great God of Highest Heaven. It's a great song to close with. And before I close in prayer, I just want to highlight, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. You've got to hear it like that. It's not a matter of do, do, do. You have to do this. You're beloved children. Dearly loved. Saved. And we're to live in the light of that wonderful truth. A life of holiness. A life of love. A life where the truth is revealed. That's how it is. And I'm going to finish with Matthew 5. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he mentioned these things. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are the light of the world. And what he means by that is, you're the light of the world in the sense of, my light's in you. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men and women light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's what we're to be about. Praise the Lord's name. I'm going to pray. Let me pray. Dear Father, thank you for how we can look at this passage. For me, it's challenging. I know that, Lord. I thank you for the time I've had to wrestle with you about things I read here. And I pray for all of us that you would help us to be, Lord, people sold out for you, so delighted that we have become your beloved children, and that you would help us to push out the darkness and the world's ways, that it wouldn't eclipse us anymore, but we'd be a people who love as Christ loved, a people of holiness as Christ was holy, a people of truth as Christ was. And that, Lord, the people around us, even in church and the people in our community, the people we mix with, would see the reflection of our precious Redeemer in our life. And we want to ask you to help us do that so that you might be glorified, but also so that other people would see the reality of Jesus. Lord, we live in days where so many people are lost. Please would you turn our lives around that other people might be drawn to our great Redeemer, even Jesus, your Son. And I just ask, Lord, if there's some things in any of our lives where we need to repent, please help us to do it today. Help us to remember that you're a gracious God. Please would you help us to be on our knees asking you, Lord, to forgive us. And if we're not saved yet, Lord, help us to realize we need your Son Jesus so much. We can't pretend to be a Christian. We can't act a Christian. We need you to make us a Christian by coming into our life. So help us to open our heart fully to Jesus, your Son. Thank you for this special morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that the things we've looked at today would have an impact and a lasting impact upon our life. I ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.